Both Paul in Romans 8 and Peter in 1 Peter 5 say that we will go through suffering to glory. The Lord Jesus Christ went through suffering to glory. A good Old Testament example of that is Joseph. And we're studying Joseph's life. We're at a point where he went from pit to prison. He's going to palace, but at this point, at the close of Genesis 39, he didn't know about the palace. And he was going through his period of difficulties. We will go through our periods of difficulties. The Lord Jesus Christ is the best example of going from suffering to glory. Joseph is good. Old Testament example of going through suffering, down, and then soon to be up. But not in today's text yet. I think we read the close of Genesis 39 last time, but I'd like to come back to that. And we'll look at Genesis 39, verse 20. That will be entrance into prison. And then we will study mostly in Genesis 40 of what happened in prison. Genesis 39, 20 through 23. So Joseph's master took him and put him in the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail. So whatever was done for him, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Joseph's positions will change over his story. Going to go to coat of many colors and favored son, then to pit and prison, down. Eventually he will go back up. But I think his personality did not change very much. It's interesting. We could say whether low or high, he kind of had the same work ethic. Kind of had the same beliefs in God. His theology did not change. His behavior did not change. Low or high. The same personality, whatever was going on. That would be best to be true of us. That if we're having mistreatment, and we can have mistreatment, it doesn't have to be fair. If we have a difficult time, we can have the same personality, the same beliefs, the same ethics, the same actions in a bad time as in a good time. And that's the way he will be. Right now he's in a low position. He's going to get to a higher position, but he actually had the same personhood. His godliness, his views were all the same. People could tell that he had been mistreated by the way he behaved. People could tell he was a believer in God and had not become disloyal despite any mistreatment. People could tell he had a strong work ethic and was not going to quit despite the mistreatment. People could tell he was honest. So his position changes as we study the story, but his personality is the same, whatever it is. Also, we have read again in verse 21 and 23, two of the four times it says in Genesis 39, the Lord was with him. Joseph was not yet rich. He was doing everything for everybody else so far. He was not yet famous, because I don't think the prison administrator is going to be famous, the fellow inmate prison administrator. So he had not been exalted and famous or rich in the Egyptian world, but the Lord was with him. Back to our definition of what is success. Success is doing any worthy occupation well, any worthy task well. Success is getting the Lord to approve. That's success. Here was the entrance into jail. From this, we don't know too many details. Sometimes it's kind of funny. In Psalm 105, whoever wrote Psalm 105 knew a little more. Here's about Joseph in Psalm 105. He was in irons, so his feet were in chains. That's verse 18. Verse 19, he was tested until the time that his word came to pass. So the Lord was testing him, but entrance into prison, we can't tell what it was like here, but it evidently was bad at the start. And then less and less, but he was lied about with a false accusation, and then he was mistreated when he went into the prison. His position will change, his personality will not. We can do what is right and suffer for it. So I don't know how we learn that. You know, it's kind of like if you eat your vegetables and get a college degree, everything will work out great. Well, it'll go back and forth. That's what happened. And success here is God's favor. Success is getting God to approve any worthwhile task. And he will be forgotten, but God will not forget. Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust to forget your work. It might be society forgets the work. With other people, sometimes they'll remember. Now, there'll be an application before the sermon is over. Try to remember all the good people who have helped us in the past. Some are gone, but remember them. Remember that part of what we are is due to these good people. So we should not forget, but Joseph got forgotten. That'll be part of this story. And he was mistreated for doing what is right. He was lied by Mrs. Potiphar with a false accusation. Now, he's the Old Testament example, and the New Testament, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, where it's a greater example, but the same thing. 1 Peter 2, if you do what is right and suffer for it, this finds favor with God. That's 1 Peter 2:20. Next verse, he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Kept entrusting means like he had to kind of do it over and over, and the Lord Jesus Christ would just entrust his future to the Father. Suffering and glory, while suffering, entrusting it all to the Father. Satan tests to destroy. God tests to improve and approve. Now, if you forgive the same illustration, it's like a good teacher giving tests. The point of the test is not to hurt somebody else. The point of the test is to improve them and approve them. Lately, when we're thinking about medicine, testing of medicine is to, with a goal of improving it, not to destroy. Satan tests to destroy. God tests to improve and approve. And it likely started with Job. You know, Satan goes to the presence of God. Can I test Job? He will turn against you. And Job was faithful in the test. And Psalm 105 uses the same wording of what is going on in Joseph. God was testing his loyalty. He was going to have all his dreams come true, but not yet. First suffering, then glory, testing his loyalty, and he was going to succeed. I know I've said this in the past, but I think about it. Everybody tells all the kids, you can do everything you want to do. Nah, I'd change that. You can do anything God wants you to do. And adding that to it fits the story of Joseph better and fits life better. Not that we can do anything we want to do, but we can do anything that God wants us to do. And that's why we picked Ecclesiastes 9:10 for our scripture reading. Whatever your hand finds to do, do with your might. sometimes things that we want to do, the doors do not open up. But other doors do open up, and we should go through them. And sometimes God's will is determined by the doors that do open up. Doors for doing a worthy task that is approving to Him. Doors for doing His God's will. Well, again, Psalm 105 helps by adding how terrible it was when he first went into prison, but eventually he was put in charge. So we go from the dungeon experience now to the dream encounter, and that will be chapter 40, where he helps with the other inmates having their dreams, and we'll just begin with verses 1 through 4. Then it came about after these things, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the cupbearer and chief baker. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them. He took care of them, for they were in confinement for some time. Well, you know, the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker, and so forth. And that might give a little bit of a off direction to what's happening here. I think these are Secret Service officials. I think all three of them are. The food maker and baker and taster was to prevent poisoning. And the wine tester was to prevent poisoning. True, they were to find the best. So they were to find the delicacies and the best, true enough. But I think somewhat involved here is what we would call the Secret Service. And also in verses 3 and 4, we have the captain of the bodyguard. In the previous chapter, that was Potiphar. All this means, I think, Potiphar didn't really believe his wife's accusation. First of all, he was chief executioner, and he did not believe the charge of attempted rape against Joseph because he put him in prison and not had him executed. And then when things turned around, he put him, Joseph, in charge of the whole thing over in the prison. So I think the captain of the bodyguard is Potiphar, and he was like Secret Service to protect the Pharaoh. I think so were these other jobs to protect the Pharaoh. Now I thought about getting up and going in the other room and searching Secret Service White House. Then I said, I don't want them knocking on the door. But somewhere along the line, I did put in poison Egypt. So up came stories about the present. And, oh goodness. We'll go to the present. Vladimir Putin has food tasters, and Barack Obama had food tasters. I do not know about Donald Trump and Joe Biden, so maybe this is an older article, but it would surprise me if they don't. Adolf Hitler had food tasters. They had to eat the food at 8, and if it didn't drop over, then it would be all right. It's been going on for a long time. So, you know, it's true we think of these people as making the best, but I think what happened was somebody in the court got sick and died. We're not sure where it came from. Pharaoh's really mad. So either one of them did it, or one of them didn't watch it good enough, or whatever, but for the time being, they're going in there. And that's kind of what I think is happening here. So let's look at the rest, more of the story, verses 5 through 7. Then the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt, who were confined in jail, both had a dream the same night, each man with his own dream and each man with his own interpretation. And Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them. Behold, they were dejected. He asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" We could go on to the dreams immediately, but I'd like to think a little bit about Joseph's psychology here. First, he didn't spend all day getting even for the mistreatment. He worked on doing positive things and not all day getting even at people who had mistreated him. Not all day at fixing the wrong. And he thought about others even when he was having a hard time. So Joseph is having a hard time. He's been unfairly lied about, and he's in prison, and his brothers mistreated him. But he's thinking about others. Why are you so sad? So here is a person who doesn't have everything perfect in their life, who's still watching for others. And I think we should all be encouraged to watch for others. Now, we would always care about others, and you can decide when you say something or when you don't say something. I have this all the time. Each of us has to decide when to jump in. It's none of our business. And sometimes that's the case. Or if somebody is in really sad shape. Now, Joseph knew these two people. So there might be a little more of an opening if they're really having a hard time and you already know them, can we do anything about it? Sometimes in total strangers, I can tell that things aren't right. Now, being a pastor, I have a little bit more freedom. I just have them a little card, Westcliff Bible Church, and call me if you need help. Okay, and indirectly, if you don't know somebody real well and don't want to say anything about it, you could say, call the church for help if you need any help. Otherwise, we hope you're okay. But it's good to watch out for others. And Joseph was having a lousy time himself. And he was still looking out for other people. Interesting. Now, verse 8, I just took it by itself because in verse 8, here is the lesson here, God gets all the credit. Verse 8. Then they said to him, we have had a dream, there's no one to interpret it. Then Joseph said to him, do not interpretations belong to God. Please tell it to me, please. And the stress will be, God can help with this. Several times, Joseph will give credit to God. And back to the subject of accomplishment and achievement and doing something, our efforts are necessary. No doubt, Joseph worked hard. Our efforts are necessary. We've got all this in the Bible about working hard, whatever your hand finds to do with your might. Our efforts are necessary, but they're not fully sufficient. In the end, God will bless the efforts. We sing, trust and obey, so let me reverse it. Obey and trust God for accomplishment. And Joseph was hardworking, and Joseph did have skills. And yet, in the end, God gets the credit. New Testament, 1 Corinthians 4:7. What you have, you did not receive. And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as you have not received it? So, when achievements happen, our efforts do matter. We will have worked hard. Necessary, but not sufficient. Farm figure, one plants, one waters, God makes it grow. So we do work hard at whatever we're trying to do. God makes it grow. Also, in a matter of confidence, I think confidence is good, but let us say self-confidence alone is not. Confidence in what God can do with us is. So, depending on where the confidence is, we can say that's negative, that's positive. If we have confidence in ourselves alone, that's just independent pride and sin. If we have confidence in what God can do with us, it's like 2 Corinthians 3:5, our adequacy is from God, who has made us adequate ministers of the new covenant. So that was the way Paul would think. Without him, I can do nothing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So confidence is good, and ambition is good. If it's ambition for honoring God, it's good ambition. We want to all be ambitious, and we want to have confidence as long as we have dependence upon God also. Jeremiah was not yet written when Joseph was living this way, but here's Jeremiah 9:23. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. We don't boast how smart we are. Let not a mighty man boast of his might. You know how much athletic abilities. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him boast of this, that he knows and understands me. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. So, previous verse, Joseph was thinking about others, even though he had his own troubles. Verse 8, God gets all the credit. Now we get to the dreams. Verses 9 and following are dream number 1, so we get to verse 15. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said, in my dream, behold, there was a vine in front of me. And on the vine were 3 branches. And as it was budding, its blossoms came out, and its clusters produced ripe grapes. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Then Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it, 3 branches of 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were his cupbearer. Favor now. Only keep me in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to the Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. Even here I have done nothing that they should have put me in the dungeon. Well, he dreamed about the vine with 3 branches and waited on the Pharaoh, and the interpretation, 3 more days, you will get your old job back. That's the definition of his being lifted up. Yeah, the other one would be lifted up on a noose to hang him. They're both going to get lifted up. One is lifted up to his position. The other one is lifted up in the hanging. Now, probably could have read both of them, but I just read the first one because I wanted to see the principle of self-defense in verse 15 against a wrong. I didn't do anything. Verse 15. He didn't try to get even. He didn't show bitterness. He didn't stop doing the good work because of the wrong. But he did defend against it. So we have to make up our minds on many things that really ought to go in the category of love covers a multitude of sins. A whole lot of things needed to just do. They're not that big a deal. Yes, it's insulting and this and that and blah, blah, blah. They said slander and all of them. Every few weeks I hear it about me. not this member, but out there in the world with all the books and all that stuff all over the place. The best thing to do is, in most cases, don't do a thing about it. Love covers a multitude of sins. On the other hand, sin is a big category. And he was accused of attempted rape. He didn't take it. It didn't divert from his main goal. You know? It wasn't trying to get even or get bitter, but it was self-defense. And there is a time whereby an accusation is a little more than slander, gossip, and a little meanness. A lot of things just let go and don't worry about it. On the other hand, this wasn't all that small. And self-defense in this is a not guilty plea is valid. And it will be when Paul does that at his trials in the book of Acts. It is valid. So sometimes self-defense is right, I can tell you the tipping point for me, I've known this for years, if it goes beyond attacking me and they start to attack the Bible or this church, I will tell them they're wrong. So it's one thing to take a personal, okay, doesn't matter, got stuff to do. Right. But it didn't happen too often, I would say twice in 40 years where it was serious. And it's starting to really attack the Bible or to attack the family or whatever, we're innocent. So you see, Joseph in verse 15 does give an example of self-defense. Now let's read dream number two. We've done the cupbearer, now the baker, verse 16. The chief baker saw he had interpreted favorably, said to Joseph, I also saw in my dream, and behold, there were three baskets of white bread on my head. And in the top basket, there were some of all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. Then Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you, and you will hang on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh off you. After it came about on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. Then here's how he lifted them up. He restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup in the Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had interpreted. Well, I probably could find it, but the commentaries made a mention of an Egyptian text that has 38 kinds of cakes and 57 kinds of breads in it. Very good. Later, when Joseph's brothers will come into Egypt to buy grain, their dad will give them what goods they have, and it will be honey, pistachios, and almonds. Made me wonder how old baklava is. Honey, pistachio, almonds, okay. Maybe later when they get to his brothers bringing the food into Egypt, they'll work on a few recipes. Anyway, the baker noted that Joseph's previous interpretation was favorable, so he thought he would try it, and his was not. I don't know whether, we don't know whether he ever really did anything. Somebody, no doubt, in the court got sick. Where it came from, I don't know, but the baker's the one that got the blame. So Pharaoh figured out he did it, or he was responsible to guard me, and he did not guard me enough, and that is what happens. Now, I left out verse 23 for a good application before we go today. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. I don't think it's unusual. It's not very good. God did not forget. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. God did not forget. People can. And maybe an application, we might try to remember all the people in the past who made us what we are. Some are still alive, some no doubt are gone. We might think about them. Or write them a note even. Your lists would be similar. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters. Then go beyond the relatives and go to teachers. Then go to Sunday school teachers and coaches and youth group leaders. Maybe some of them are still here. They kind of made us what we are. We're very, very influential. So may I say good things about Jay O'Keefe while I'm standing here. It mattered a lot. You can think about him. So don't forget the people who were very important to us. And you'll have a list. You'll have your own list. Let's not forget them.
Okay, will the choir please come?